Hello and welcome to NJBiz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanige. My guest today is Blake Goodman, who leads JLL's medical office practice in New Jersey. Blake, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me. I appreciate you taking the time. Now, most of our viewers, I'm sure, are aware of the changes that have been going on in the healthcare industry, particularly over the past few years. One of them is consolidation. There was, at least before the pandemic, a wave of consolidation among hospitals and other kinds of practices. That's now come down to physician practices and things like that. My sense is those deals are still going on, but perhaps not on the same scale. I wonder if that's your experience, and if so, or how has consolidation affected the real estate market and continue to shape the market?
Yeah, so consolidation has affected the market in a lot of ways. I would agree with you that kind of that first phase of consolidation has mostly saturated the New Jersey market.
Okay.
But there's still work to be done. I think that you've seen, like, one large one was Villagen MD's acquisition of Summit Health. So that was probably the last large one that we've seen of late. But to your point, there's a lot of primary care doctors and specialty practice groups that are being gobbled up by major systems throughout the state. And that's been happening for years now. And what's happening now is these major systems have kind of ownership of all these little kind of dots on the map, if you will. And they've bought market share in markets that they didn't have a lot of control in, because they said, hey, we want to enter this market. Let's get a primary care doctor. Let's get an orthopedist, et cetera. But all those doctors are sprinkled in their own kind of random medical office buildings throughout their specific market. So kind of that next phase, and what we're seeing is a lot of these systems are taking a holistic look in what I call, like, kind of the real estate portfolio optimization process. So they're looking at, hey, in whatever town we're talking about, in Morris County, we've got these four or five doctors, primary care doctors and specialty practice groups, but they're sprinkled throughout the county, right?
Right.
Let's create a regional hub. So what they're pulling them out of their traditional MOBs that you would have gone to 10 or 15 years ago, which is a, you know, kind of a BC office building with older space. And they're taking them to what I call, you know, branded facilities. And all they care about is visibility, access, and parking. If it's a suburban, or if it's an urban, it's a little bit less important, as long as you go on mass transit. But visibility and access, because if you can create a brand new state-of-the-art facility that the community sees every day, drives by every day, they know how to get there, there's less friction, and you create, you know, yourself and a brand identity within that community, that's what they're really trying to establish, versus having to, like, make three turns, go into a building, go up to the third floor, and there's your doctor, you know, every day when you go to the food store and you see, you know, RWJ or Hackensack or Atlantic, you know, in that strip mall, and it's 6,000 square feet, and it's like, hey, I can go to my primary care doctor right here. It's so easy. It's, you know, so you see it on a small scale where, you know, in the town communities, it might be in, like, a regional strip mall where they take 6 or 10,000 square feet. On a large scale, a lot of it's very retail oriented, because those types of products offer visibility and access.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll start to see, you know, mall boxes, right? And we've seen a couple of those, Cooper Health, RWJ, Atlantic, all of them have taken some sort of mall box or offshoot box in a retail center because of the visibility and access and, you know, kind of the central location community-wide. And I think you'll continue to see a shift from your traditional medical office building into these regional kind of isolated centers that are kind of upfront within the community.
Okay, well, that was what I was going to ask you, whether you thought that dynamic would continue. Because when I talk to leaders of some of the big systems, you know, given the state of the current antitrust regime on the federal level, there's not going to be a whole lot of big deals. It's going to be a lot of these kinds of things happening. So you're expecting that's going to continue.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously everybody, you know, margins are thin right now, and you know, especially the next couple of years, and, you know, the cost of capital has gone up. So the kind of dry powder to invest in some of these major projects is drying up. However, I think a lot of these systems are, you know, they know they're going to weather the storm. They're thinking long term, and they're going to come up with creative ways to still do what they're looking to do and plan for those things. A lot of the major projects that have gone down or been planned and are in the process of being executed right now I think there's some sticker shock from the systems because they're realizing, hey, we projected it was going to cost X and it was going to be done by Y. And now it's, you know, kind of a lot more than they were thinking because of the cost of capital. And, you know, the cost of construction has gone up, all sorts of reasons. So they may be taking a slight pause, but still thinking strategically on, okay, you know, we'll weather the storm now. How are we going to really plan for the future for this system? Okay. So, and that's what I'm seeing with my clients is a lot of them are really starting to look at the data. You know, previously it was buy the practices and just keep going. Right. Now it's like, okay, let's kind of temper it. Let's think strategically and plan for, you know, the next 5 to 10 years in a thoughtful way, and how we really grow the system in the right way and brand ourselves correctly, and be in the right communities.
Okay, well, that interesting shift in thinking there. I'm also curious. Another big development, obviously, was the more widespread use of telehealth. I'm wondering, people not wanting to go to a physical building. I'm wondering, is that sort of reducing the demand for space, or is it creating a need for a different kind of space?
It's not reducing the demand for space because patients usually still want to see their doctors if it's something serious. Right. I would say the psychiatry field, maybe they have probably a less of a demand for space, but because, you know, some people are more comfortable doing that online, but even there, some people would prefer to be in person. Telehealth, to your point, I think it's changing the way spaces are designed to have the technology to accommodate. Right. So a doctor can be in his office and see a patient physically, but then see a patient virtually in the same space, right? So to kind of reorganize and rethink about how, you know, their space works and can accommodate both in a quick fashion, right? Because a doctor's seeing patients constantly, quickly. So they need to be able to transition fast. And a lot of times the initial visit might be through telehealth, but then they need to come in because something's more serious or whatever the case may be. So they're always going to need that physical space, but they are going to need to modify the space to be able to work in different ways.
Okay. And you also mentioned another dynamic that I was interested in. That is, you mentioned putting some of these offices in strip malls and things like that. There's a lot of older properties around that I know a lot of developers are repurposing. How big a factor is that in your practice and what you're seeing? And are there enough of those kinds of spaces to fill the demand?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing what I see is, you know, on the smaller scale, if it's like an in-community center, it's usually 6,000-10,000 square feet. And there you're looking to pull off a few towns and have one regional hub. That is going to go into like your community strip mall where there's a ShopRite and a Panera Bread and things like that. And you know, you're just kind of ingrained in where everybody's going every day, Starbucks, things like that. And that what I would say is like the smaller scale. And then you get into like the bigger regional hubs where you're like in a mall box where you're looking at a former Lord and Taylor or something like that, where you're ranging from 30 to 150,000 square foot center, where they're stripping that, you know, building down to its core and redeveloping and creating a major regional center. So that would be in a, like kind of like a mall setting. There's also, you know, the only time you'll see, I think, in my opinion, a medical office building or an office building be like repositioned for medical is if it has really good visibility and access. Okay. Like I know, like Atlantic Health did that with a former Bank of America building in Bridgewater, New Jersey, where it was right on 22. You could see it. There was signage availability. That made sense, right? But if that was two streets back, they would have never taken that building, right? Okay. Like, and then there's ground up developments that are happening. For a lot of these large redevelopment projects where they're doing mixed use redevelopment, where you've got a residential community, an office community, retail environment, and it's all coming into a kind of a master planned redevelopment in a region, those are prime for these healthcare systems to take one of those boxes that's going up and take whatever 30 to 60,000 square feet and be a part of that whole overall, you know, redevelopment project. Right. Some of those are in like micro downtowns, like what I call micro downtowns, like, you know, Morristown, Westfield, you know, Montclair, things like that. And then others are just in kind of regional centers that are being master planned.
Okay. Well, it really does sound like a retail mindset. I mean, what you're talking about, visibility, access, parking, those are all things that retailers want too.
And that's what they're thinking. It's almost retail and hospitality too, because it's the patient experience, right? Because all these systems are competing for the same patients, right? And so now it's about who do you feel most comfortable with? Who's in your community? Who do you see every day, right? Brand awareness, but also what type of experience do you have when you go there, right? When you go into one of these systems, was it pleasant? Was it easy to get into? Was the person argumentative when was the receptionist argumentative when you started, asking questions, or were they super nice and warm and accommodating? And, was it clean? Was everything brand new? Did it feel state of the art? Did it look old and dingy? Right. All of those, kind of moments that you have as a patient are going to be super important, because if you have a bad feeling, you're going to have a competitor right next door. It's like, hey, maybe I should try them out. They seem to have a really nice facility, right? So, I think it's both retail and hospitality combined is kind of the new way of thinking about healthcare.
Okay, that's interesting. And by the same token, there's also new construction going on. The major project in New Brunswick, obviously. Hackensack Meridian Valley Health also building new facilities. What's the significance of those kinds of projects, again, to the market, the real estate market for medical offices as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of those are what I would consider like on-campus redevelopments, so like almost extensions of their hospital to modernize some of their hospital, to create breathing room within their existing hospital for other services. Hospitals make the most money and highest revenue on campus activity, so they're trying to, in any way, a lot of hospitals are kind of restricted, real estate wise, because there's only so much land, right? Insurance, the amount of insurance you can get back in on hospital activities versus off campus activities is significantly different. So they really want to maximize their on campus presence. And if you can modernize, your facility and expand it and then create more room for other services within your hospital, that's the biggest moneymaker for them. So from that perspective, it makes complete sense that they would invest heavily in both modernizing and expanding their on-campus presence, and then creating these regional hubs, which are almost like, it's like the hub and spoke, right? Those are the spokes that are gonna kind of feed into the hospital system, and that's where they're gonna make, their highest revenue.
Okay. Now, when I've spoken to developers and I talked to a lot of them recently at the Newark Summit, a large commercial real estate conference in Newark, what came up over and over again was some of the challenges that they face, permitting and the slow pace of that for one, and something you mentioned earlier, the high cost of borrowing. I'm curious if you have any thoughts about what 2024 is going to look like in those regards. You can talk about your specialty or the commercial real estate market as a whole. Are those the biggest challenges, or is that what you're expecting to see over the next 12 months?
Yeah, I think the cost of capital is creating a lot of issues for the commercial real estate market as a whole, right? You've got owners that have bought assets over the past 5 years at a higher value, and they underwrote at a lower interest rate. And now that their loan's coming due, or they've got to do a capital project, they can't refinance. They're just underwater, right? So what do they do? How did a lot of owners are trying to work with banks to kind of sort things out, extend loans, restructure some things to get them through the next few years in the hope that interest rates come down, values come up a little bit, things stabilize, it becomes a little bit more rational. But that's a that's probably the biggest hurdle that we're seeing right now. And even on the office side, a lot of users are looking for built space because they don't want to have to incur the cost of redeveloping an entire new space. If there's space they can hop into with little capital outlay, that's a much easier decision to make than to spend all that money with higher interest rates and things like that. I think you're going to start seeing different like alternative financing methods that companies and tenants and healthcare systems look at to structure to kind of get around and navigate the waters versus just buying a building in cash. They're probably going to finance that project over a long period of time and hope that in 3 or 4 years interest rates change and they can refinance that down. So I think people get creative, companies are going to get creative to solve for it, but those are definitely the biggest hurdles we're seeing right now is and permitting is always a problem.
Right, goes without saying, I guess.
Yeah, in New Jersey, that's always going to be an issue.
All right, so I mean, from your perspective, then, just before I let you go, for the future for 2024, It almost seems like, I don't want to say that this sector of medical offices is sort of immune from the larger economy, but there's a demand for healthcare no matter what's happening elsewhere. I mean, is that the way, is that a reasonable way to look at it, or is am I wrong about that?
No, I think you're right. I think the two sectors that are most active right now are healthcare and life science, within the New Jersey community anyway. You know, financial services somewhat, but I think you're right. I think healthcare is, while the margins are thin, there's a deeper competition, and there's a strong will with all of these hospitals to, you know, kind of brand, consolidate, create a new experience for their patients. There's a lot of competition. So if there's competition, they have to kind of, you know, there's a turf war also, right? Like, where's the market share? Who's there? How do I position myself within that market? And I think all the systems, in order to thrive long-term, are thinking about how do we expand? Where do we expand? How do we consolidate operations, become leaner and meaner, but also have enough dots on the map where we control the market share that we want to control? So I think you are going to see those systems continue to grow and compete within the state.
Okay. Well, if you don't mind, we'll check back in with you at some point and see how.
Absolutely. I would love that.
Okay. Blake Goodman of JLL, thank you very much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff. Take care.
Thank you. And thanks for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.